Rave Radio. Hi, Joel Rollins here once again on the day before the opening of Infocom 2015. And I'm here with Mark Coxon, also known as AV Phenom, frequent contributor to Rave, and now the regional manager for Daylight?
Regional sales manager for Daylight on the West.
A very old and very respected company. I've been a Daylight dealer for 30 years.
I've been alive for over 30 years.
Okay, yeah, but you weren't a Daylight dealer then. So what's it? Yeah, I mean, okay, so milestones moved you to running Daylight in California. How's things going there?
You know, it's great. I'm on my first week, so I can't say that I've made any huge strides in market share in that territory. But what I did get to do was go to the Daylight factory in Warsaw, Indiana.
Warsaw, Indiana.
And I had never been to Indiana. In fact, I'd never even landed on an
airplane. Out where the corn grows.
It is where the corn grows. But it's an amazing community because it's actually got a ton of orthopedic.
Zimmer Orthopedics used to be, I was about to say, Zimmer was one of my clients. And if you go to Warsaw, Indiana, two things are manufactured there, screens and implants.
Yes.
And I understand that they have softball teams that play against each other, too.
Well, I didn't get to do that, but what I did get to do was actually see some real, you know, honest American manufacturing.
Absolutely.
Which I was in integration for 11 years, right? And so, you know, screens, they've been around. I've specified screens before. I've worked with Daylight before. I'd worked with some of Daylight's competitors before. And when they said I needed to go to Warsaw for a week, I thought to myself, is there anything I'm going to learn there that I can't do over Skype, right? I mean, I really felt like I got to go from California to Indiana just to learn about some screen materials. But it was an amazing experience. And, you know, seeing things come in like, you know, just flat strap metal on a spool come in one side of the factory and then screens going out the other side.
Yeah.
Roll formers and filling in, making your own screen materials and spraying black coatings and making idea screens and, tab tensioning things and cutting the parabolic arc in the side of a screen, right, for tab tensioning. I mean, it was all done by hand, and somebody actually hangs each screen up and does a QC on it and runs it up and down with the switch going in the box. And there was a lot of pride in that work there. And so it was amazing. I didn't realize I was going to learn as much as I did when I was there, and it was a great experience. So
it's amazing to find out what goes into manufacturing a product. When I went to work for Extron, it was the same thing. It's like, you know, I really never thought about all this machinery and all the check steps and all the, you know, QC and all of that kind of stuff. You learn a lot when you do it about the product that you've been handling for so long and have almost taken for granted.
I think I came away with a whole new respect for, you know, even what a screen is, just seeing how much goes into it.
I've visited Daylight, and my respect for their attention to manufacturing quality is very high. So, okay, so you got to visit Warsaw. I'll tell you that summertime in Warsaw is actually a great place. It's way out in the country, and there's barbecues and softball games and all that. It's what you would think of as, like, traditional middle America kind of values out there.
Yeah, and everybody knows each other.
Yep.
I mean, my new sales manager was telling me he went out to Warsaw for the first time and was having lunch with our general manager at Daylight. And he goes, at one point I thought he was having like tics. His like finger kept pointing out like over here, and he'd point over here and he'd point over there. And he goes, I finally realized he was acknowledging everybody in the restaurant that he saw.
yeah. We do that in New England, too. I mean, you don't actually wave. You lift your finger from the steering wheel as you go by people. You know? So, okay. So, you know, here with Daylight for the first time.
Yeah.
What's your outlook for the show? What do you think is going to be cool at the show here?
You know, I'm excited for the show. I think there are some cool things. I mean, I was excited the other day because I'm kind of a 4K video over IP geek. I argued with somebody on air earlier about that topic. The new chip, the new video over IP chip that does 4K at 444, 60 frames a second. I got to go see that. Some of the interactive stuff is really cool. I know I saw Flat Frog's new interactive at DSE. Mm-hmm. And so I'm looking to go look at theirs again because it has some interesting capabilities for actually sensing pressure. If you push harder, you actually get a positive. It's almost haptic in a way. So some of those things always light me up. And then, you know, DirectView LED. It's always great, expensive, sure, but amazing. I can't deny the power of it. And of course, I'm excited to see what we get to do in our booth too, because we have some cool new stuff there as well. So
I think we're going to see a lot in the UVC BYOD market too. And I mean, that's something that's been taken off like crazy for us.
The ABCDEFG is really, really hot this year, as it always is. No, yeah, that BYOD market is huge. I mean, I think we've seen that shift, right? I mean, the biggest product launches, and I was talking about this earlier, it seems like the biggest buzz around products the last few years at Infocom have been ClickShare, Brio, Air Media, Solstice, Creston RL, Vadio, any of the station projects, right?
Or right.
Products like Group Station, Huddle Station, all those pieces. So yeah, people are definitely looking for a way to effectively communicate across those boundaries without spending $25,000 in the room.
Yeah.
Right. And so yeah, there's a lot of that on the floor.
You know, what BYOD has done for my company anyway is it's opened up a lot of rooms in which there normally wouldn't have been a conferencing system, right? I mean, we've always done the boardrooms, we've always done the training rooms, but they've always, in any, like we're doing a couple of new corporate headquarters, and there've always been a dozen rooms that just had whiteboards or just had a display in them.
Yeah.
And you know, that BYOD market, things like Vadio Huddle Station, have really turned people on to the idea of all rooms can be equipped. So I think it's opened up a secondary market for us that's added to a lot of installations.
Yeah, and if you think about it, I mean, if you think about the productivity gains, right? Like, we used to have those meetings and the five guys that get together would get in that room and have that meeting. We'd all go over something. We'd think we'd come to an answer, and there were the two or three people that weren't able to make it. You send them out the notes, and they're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And now you have to have the meeting again.
Right.
And like you said, it was because you weren't going to invest, you know, $20,000 in a codec for, you know, a small five-person conference room. So, yeah, when you bring that in there, now all of a sudden you can bring those other people in, even if they're not at your location, and you do the meeting once. And it all gets done, and it works, and it's easy to use. And, yeah, I mean, it's no, I guess, surprise that systems like that have gained a lot of traction.
Yeah, I'm amazed, actually. You know, I think, like, the interesting thing about it for me was that smaller companies opened it up.
Yeah.
And now my question is, I mean, now we're seeing AMX with their first UVC product, mm-hmm. You know? Are the big players going to jump in here?
I think they will. I think what happens is, though, is sometimes you're too late. You know, because you're coming in with a Me Too product, and the only real value you have to sell is one purchase order. But, you know, people in the AV industry, you know, we deal with people. And if you've developed a 2-3-year relationship with a company who you supported when they were small, and who probably helped, like most small companies do, helped you learn how to build their product into your business better and integrate it better, and maybe even build in some special features for you, you're not just going to go switch to AMX because they all of a sudden slap UC in a box. You're just not going to do it.
No, but there are companies in that manufacturing market who are famous for entering a market when they think it's ready, entering it later,
sure,
and hitting it with a whole line of product. I mean, that UVC thing, I've watched Extron enter that collaboration market, you know?
Yeah.
Is Extron going to have a product like that? And if so, they have the long-term power with dealers too,
sure,
to say, now we're here, right? And is a Crestron, an AMX, an Extron, those, Milestone, mm-hmm. You know? I mean, are they going to enter that market?
Yeah, it's one of those things. I know Milestone, we have obviously always have a goal to expand, but we're not an electronics company. So, you know, something like that would probably never be what we do. Although we have, you know, we have peripheral products.
Right.
Like, you know, at Daylight, we have something called ViewShare. I don't know if you've ever seen
right.
that.
Right, I have. I was about to mention it and say, wait a minute, you're not an electronics.
Well, yeah. So, you know, we have a 1080p, you know, PTZ camera built into the bottom of a screen bezel.
Right.
And that was very popular because, you know, you'd have a classroom.
It was
per
a good
se.
Place to put the camera.
It's a great place to put the camera because if you know anything about specifying screens, which you do, you've used Daylight. I mean, you usually want that bottom of the screen around 48 inches off the floor.
Right.
For viewable height, which happens to be the perfect height for teleconferencing as well, right? So,
right.
So it's in the perfect spot, and we've seen such popularity out of that product that you know, they're expanding that product line. And so if you wanted to see kind of what they're doing with that maybe somewhere besides screens, you might go over to the Chief booth and see that they're probably doing something with ViewShare on the Chief
they're
side.
They're probably doing something there.
Yeah,
okay.
they're probably, I don't know what the spoilers are, so I'm going to make sure that I don't say anything off.
What are you expecting to see that you haven't seen before from anybody?
You know, AV seems like this gradual progression. So I never expect to see anything that I haven't seen before in some way, shape, or form coming to the show. I don't know that we've had any of those product announcements in a long time. You know, I would love to see, you know, the laser helical hologram projection unit that like somebody like Bleen is trying to get built or something like that. You know, when we see something like that on the floor, that's going to be the new piece that we haven't seen in years. But there are a lot of people that have compelling stories. I mean, making improvements to products and things like that as
now,
well.
Now, here's something that I saw, especially I see at ISE, and I know that you've had a foot in each market.
Sure.
Is the home theater market affecting the AV? I mean, it used to be that things moved from pro to home theater. In the last few years, we've seen a lot of things move from home theater to pro.
Yeah.
Is that going to continue here at Infocom? We see it at ISE a lot.
Yeah, I think so. Well, I know you see it at ISE because it's a combination of CEDIA and Infocom for the most part, right? It's like kind of like both shows combined in Europe. So there's a definitely a residential contingent to ISE. So I think naturally you're going to see those lines blurred a little more.
Right.
People are going to market to everyone on the floor. And if they have a product that's historically residential, they're going to find a way to make a story for that to be a commercial piece. But yeah, I think you're going to see that. I think as we continue to use these consumerized devices and they start to set the standard for how we interact with electronics, right? We have iPads, we have phones.
Right.
It was funny. I was in this room earlier today and there were like eight of us in there. And one of the guys goes, how many cameras in the room right now? And we all looked at each other and he goes, at least 20.
Yeah.
It's like your phone's got two, your laptop's got one, there's eight of us here. There's at least 20 cameras sitting in this room right now, right? And when we start to see the proliferation of all these devices in our homes and in our pockets, I don't think that can't have some type of impact on the expectation when you go into a corporate environment.
I think that the consumer markets had an amazing impact in expectation in the corporate market.
Sure.
You know, everybody has Apple TV at home.
Yeah.
Everybody has, you know, and they expect that friendliness of control. For my listeners probably know, I recently bought a new home and I've been playing with HomeKit, right? The developer's mm-hmm. kit. And Apple, of course, is expected to release Apple Home relatively yep. shortly. And I had a bunch of my students in the AV Essentials class that I taught all last week, you know, come to me and say, you know, are control products that easy, drag and drop control products, going to impact the control market? And I said, I think they'll impact it, but I think they'll impact it positively.
Sure.
Right? You know, as when it actually creates an interest in peripheral control, in device control, then I think it's going to be good for everybody in the control market. But I think that they're going to have to chase the ease of use of those kind of control products.
Yeah, I think that's what we're gonna find. Our programmers, who have historically been really good at creating pages and pages of control to get to every function, are really going to have to be user interface experts
right.
at some point. And I don't know that we've always been that, right? I mean, we've had to design this system for kind of a large audience of people that would use the system. And because of that, since we're designing the system for somebody could be an IT person and somebody who may be a CEO, we include things that maybe one or the other wouldn't necessarily want. And so I think what we're going to see is we're going to start to see the need for systems that adapt to the person that's picking them up.
Sure.
Right? You come in and you hit your name and the UI is the UI that is specific to you. And I think that's probably a great opportunity in the AV space going forward, to where we have systems that have that flexibility, where you have one common consumerized device like an iPad or something in the room, and then that device actually has multiple profiles for whoever happens to use it. I haven't seen that a lot in the past. I know some companies are good at doing that or have done that, but I think it's something that is going to be the expectation.
Yeah, and I think that they're going to have to be lighter weight interfaces too. I mean, it's, what's funny is I've traditionally built home theater systems that use touch panels for control. Mm-hmm. My wife's never liked them. What she really likes, that little Apple remote, you know, five keys. And you know, I can tell right now, I've been here several days and I've seen the bills for movies coming across my account.
Oh, sure.
So I know that she's using it while I'm gone, you know?
It's one of those funny things too, that an actual physical control, we used to talk about this in home theater all the time when we were selling Philips Prontos, right?
Like back sure, when, I remember, back when yes, they had those. I sold them too.
And so, you know, you're selling $1,000 or $1,500 remote control with a touchscreen, because that's what they cost at the time. And really what people are doing is instead of actually watching the program that they're trying to control, they're watching their touchscreen constantly, because every time you flip a page, a button's in a different spot.
Right.
And there's no tactical response. You have muscle memory. You pick up your cable satellite remote, you don't look at it when you hit volume,
right.
when you
no,
hit
you
channel,
don't.
When you hit guide, when you hit up, down, left, right. You know where those buttons are, they're in one spot. And actually that's a much more user-friendly interface than a touch panel is. But it's not as flashy, it's not as customizable. So I think there's some room there for people with bright minds and a knack for design to come up with something that is not only tactile, but allows you to customize things to the person using it.
So sure.
I don't know, it's an amazing market. I love working in Navy because there are tons of opportunities. And most of the time I complain that they're missed opportunities, but the great thing is that they're still out there to be discovered, so.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So,
listen, I know you're getting ready for the show.
I am.
But will you come back later and give us your impressions of what actually did happen?
I will. I'd love to come back later. And once I'm cleared to speak about what we have in our booth, I'd love to give somebody preview.
So there is new stuff.
Well, we have. Well, I know what I can say quickly with Daylight. You're going to see some design center custom work there. Some front projection glass, some conical projection with edge blend, some edge blended high ambient light rejection screens, short throw ambient light rejection screens, and some great new products for that are rigged for like staging and hotels and things that we haven't had before. So I would encourage anyone who has known Daylight since 1909 to...
Well, I haven't known them
to
since
still,
1909.
Not but. You. I understand. It wasn't a slight against you, but I would encourage them to come by because you know what? It's not all old product. There's a lot of great new things going on at Daylight, and we've got an awesome story to tell, and we'd love to meet you more than anything else.
Great. Mark, thanks for being with us.
Hey, awesome. Thanks, Joel.